Warning, 30 Screams or Less may contain spoilers about movies that have recently been released. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it, come back, and enjoy the show. Or, if you don't want to waste your time watching the movie and rather have two random horror dudes watch it for you, we got you covered as well. Welcome everyone to 30 Screams or Less, a horror movie podcast where we review horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Today's movie we're going to be reviewing is called The Black Phone 2. It's directed by Scott Derrickson, written by Joe Hill, Scott Derrickson, and C. Robert Cargill, starring Ethan Hawke as The Grabber, Mason Thames as Finn, Madeline McGraw as Gwen, Damian Bashir as Mando, and Miguel Mora as Ernesto. The plot of the movie is, as Finn, now 17, struggles with his life after captivity, his sister begins receiving calls in her dreams from the black phone and seeing disturbing visions of three boys being stalked at a winter camp known as Alpine Lake. But first, Corey, true horror story. Looked in the mirror this morning, my beard, an absolute nightmare. Dry, wild, looked like it clawed its way out of a crypt.
That's terrifying, man. Did you hit it with that beard octane?
Oh, yeah. Beard wash, conditioner, beard oil brought it back from the dead.
Fellas, don't let your beard turn into a creature feature. Keep it alive and kicking with Beard Octane.
And right now, hit beardoctane.com, use code 30screams10, get 10% off. Save some cash and save your beard from becoming a horror show.
Bad beard day? We've had plenty. Beard Octane's the fix. We swear by it.
30 Screams or Less starts now. Corey, what did you think of The Black Phone 2?
I can't even remember the last time a movie had me bouncing between loving it and hating it every 10 minutes. The Grabber is the reason we're all here. He's a messed up but fascinating villain, and Ethan Hawke absolutely nails the role again for the whole 5 minutes he's actually in the movie. Let's be honest, this one screams cash grab. The first film was fresh, brilliant, and made a ton of money, so naturally they had to milk it.
Of course they did. We're all here for The Grabber. It is such a good, compelling character.
Yep.
The mask is amazing. Ethan Hawke kills it in this role in both films. Let's be honest. He's great in either one of them. He embodies that character. And I don't see anyone else ever playing this character. And I see another movie in the works, I bet.
Oh, absolutely. They left it open for it.
They left it wide open. And I mean, we'll get to that. But I can see your point about this being a cash grab, because I, too, was going back and forth on this. Like, there were scenes where I'm like, okay, this is really fucking cool. Other parts, I'm like, okay, what's happening here? Are we getting anywhere? What's going on? A lot of back and forth like that. So for me, it was just kind of like good.
Yeah, it like drags. And like, I found myself kind of getting bored. I hate to say it. I would pick up my phone and like fuck around, watch, you know, go on Reddit or something, because it seemed to drag.
Yep.
Not a whole lot happens in this movie until when you see him towards the end of the movie, when he shows up at that phone booth, when Finny is in the phone booth and the Grabber is circling the phone booth.
Yes.
And that was probably my favorite part of the movie. But before that, he was just fucking with Gwen and all the kids in their dreams, and you didn't see him.
Mm-hmm.
You heard his voice.
Yeah. I do like the aspect that they decided to go with. I mean, it's clear that they took inspiration from Nightmare on Elm Street. Let's be honest.
100%. And the way that the first movie ended, like, obviously he gets his fucking neck snapped, right?
Yep.
You can't bring that character back because he's DED.
So
how else do you make a sequel to that type of movie unless it's flashbacks? Or obviously what they figured out here, they were going to go the whole Freddy Krueger route and he was just going to torture these kids in their dreams.
Yeah. I had no idea it was going to go like that. When I heard there was a sequel coming, I'm like, ooh, I don't know.
Yeah, it didn't. And we'll talk about this a ton throughout this, I'm sure. But like, this did not need to happen. They're doing the same thing with this franchise that they're doing with Smile.
Yeah, just, hey, if it's making money, they're like, let's make another and let's make another. And I get it. The first one was a success. It was great. It was fresh. It had a unique story to it. Something I haven't seen before. Mm-hmm. So I loved it. And then when they announced this, that's when I was like, oh shit, why do they have to do that? I mean, I get it. The Grabber is a fucking awesome character. You know, a character people dress up as for Halloween, which I think I've seen.
Oh, and yeah.
It's even in Fortnite.
I was going to say, they just brought him into Fortnite, too.
Let's think about this for a second. Fortnite is supposed to be a kid's game, right?
Yeah.
Or it's targeted towards kids or teens. They have a character who's kidnapping children, murdering children.
So there's something funnier about this. So you know the Coca-Cola Halloween stuff they did this year with Chucky and Freddy Fazbear and Michael Myers? There was supposed to be a fourth can, and it was the Grabber.
Really? Did it not perform well? Or it's like, what are they called? Case studies? Not case studies. You know where they get a whole bunch of people in a room and they have them look at shit? Focus groups. That's it.
Yeah, no, it was something to do with sales, I guess, for that particular flavor, because it was, I think, strawberry. So it just didn't happen. But the artwork was sick. I saw the artwork.
Yeah. Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah.
I think that could have been cool, but a strawberry Coke or a Fanta?
Fanta,
or
yeah.
Fanta, okay. Yeah, strawberry Fanta. I don't know. I don't drink Fanta.
Yeah, I don't either. I just collected the cans, but, you know, the Grabber one never happened, unfortunately.
That's too bad.
But they tried to capitalize on all these sequels coming out this year, because you've also got Five Nights at Freddy's 2 coming out, I believe, in a few weeks.
Yep.
The Grabber 2, and then the Chucky had the TV series most recently. So
yeah, they're trying to capitalize on all that that's happening right then. And makes sense. It's Halloween season when that shit was coming out, so they wanted to plan ahead and, you know, jump in on that. So I get it. It's fine. It makes sense. Yeah, when I first saw this trailer, immediately I thought Nightmare on Elm Street. So I was like, okay, we'll see where this goes.
When you see
he's very much dead.
They showed that scene in the trailer when he was going after that girl in like the kitchen at the camp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When she was getting thrown around and you couldn't see anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You and I both saw that. And we were like, yeah, they're doing Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
That's the only way you could have brought the character back.
Yeah, that's the only way where he could interact with any of them. Otherwise, he's a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Which in a way kind of is. Because it's almost like we're almost getting like a Freddy versus Jason type situation later on. Do you remember in Freddy versus Jason where Freddy is attacking the girl in her dream and she wakes up and pulls him out of her dream into the real world?
Yep.
We're kind of getting that situation here.
Yeah,
but we don't see the actual physical manifestation of him.
This was like an hour and a half of that.
Yeah, hour and a half of that. I mean, I think that scene with Gwen, like her getting thrown around the kitchen and shit, that was pretty cool.
It was cool, yeah. Then he tried to, what did he do? He tried to burn her somehow, right?
No, he tried to, like, he was just trying to cook. Fryer? Let her cook. Yeah, he was trying to put her in the fucking ovens.
Yeah. I thought we were about to see her get cremated in that scene.
Yeah, dude, this little girl got fucking annihilated through most of the movie. And he's just, like, fucking with her with little axes and shit like that. And immediately, I'm thinking to myself, I can already see where this is going. There's going to be some ginormous-ass fight at the end of the movie where she's going to use borderline telekinesis, or it's going to be a dream fight, and she's going to be able to toss down buildings and all sorts of shit. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can control your dreams. So immediately, that's kind of where I thought it was going. I was almost right. So I do like this. I like that they brought everyone back.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone. It is just a straight continuation.
It was kind of
not like some random campers that somehow encounter the Grabber in their sleep. None of that. It's the actual people that are continuing the story.
So it's funny you say that, because like I had to go on the IMDb as I was watching this because I, for some reason, I didn't remember Gwen.
Really?
I know she was in the, like, I was like, was she in the first movie? Because she looks different. She's obviously, they're all, the actors themselves are grown up.
Yeah.
It's been a few years since the first movie. Mm-hmm. She has shorter hair now. The actress herself has cut her hair, whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, was Madeline McGraw in the first fucking movie?
Yeah.
So
they look so different. It's the same thing like Stranger Things. You know, you see them start off season one as little kids and now they're like fucking, you know, full-fledged adults.
Yeah. Yeah, it's wild.
They grow so fast. It's wild. They grow really fast.
Well, not only that, but you're watching these movies and like Stranger Things is about to release season 5. So that's, I don't even know how long it's been on. They release a season of that show like every 2-3 years, right?
Yeah. So I mean, we're talking, God, a decade?
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
So season 5 is the final season is about to start in a couple weeks. Might even be next week, actually, I think.
Yeah,
but still, you know what? They're all grown up.
I know. I want to see, when did the Stranger Things season one? Let's see. They're all grown up now. So it's like, it's just, it's kind of weird. It doesn't have that same flair than it did. It was kind of like the Goonies meets X-Files at first. Now it's just straight X-Files, which, I mean, that's fine. 2016. Holy shit.
That was the first season?
That was the first season, 2016.
So 9 years, almost a decade.
Yep, almost a decade. So they are, I mean, yeah, they're fucking adults. You know, they're over 18, 20, all that shit. So yeah, they're adults. So that's where it gets a little odd. You know, it's, but that's life. They all grow up. So I was shocked to see that it was all the same people in that movie. So I thought that was really cool. I love when movies do that and they just bring everyone back. And it's not like just a whole new cast. So I did love that. But yeah, Gwen, she had those kind of psychic abilities in the first movie, which they really ramped up on that in this film. And like, these are more like dreams, and she can see dead kids in her dreams, stuff like that. She got this from her mom, kind of a hereditary type thing. It got handed down to her. So she was doing that in the first film. She was able to see like a location where the grabber was and guide police there.
Yeah.
So that's how she ended up finding Finn, was him actually coming out of the house. And she's like, I think, looking at the wrong house, right? She was like looking at one house. And
yeah, it was like the one across the street.
Yeah.
That he was actually in.
Yep. So she had those abilities. And then as time went on, I'm assuming she probably just had like more and more and more abilities, because it's always kind of been there for her. But for all of a sudden, it's just fucking ramped up like crazy where she's seeing all of these kids. I guess it was maybe an anniversary type deal of the deaths of those kids, which is why it started coming into her mind. I think that's what they said when they were in that room with the cross, right? Like, it was X amount of years since something happened. It was like 20 years, 30 years or whatever.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. So, yeah, but her dreams, man, I thought her dream sequences were really cool. It had that really grainy look to them. Almost like, do you remember the movie Sinister?
Yeah, also Ethan Hawke movie.
Also Ethan Hawke movie. But it's got that camera that, I don't want to say high eight. It's a real grainy camera look. It kind of had that look to her dreams. It's really fuzzy. It looks grainy. It's like kind of moving around, very chaotic looking, which makes sense for a dream. And she's just walking out fucking anywhere. She managed to walk out one night right into the fucking basement of the grabber's house. I would be freaking out if I fucking woke up like sleepwalking in the house where a bunch of kids were murdered.
Yeah. So I do want to circle back, though, because you mentioned you like that graininess, right?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
So I made a note here. I liked it at first, but then it started to irritate me.
Oh, okay.
Because I feel like it got excessive.
All right.
There was a lot of it. And I understand that they were trying to convey the dream sequences with the graininess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It just started to bother me because there was so much of it during the whole movie.
So you think they like went back to the well a little too much?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's okay. That type of camera, like you were saying, whatever it's called.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I got annoyed with it after a while. It was a lot.
Yeah, because there was a lot of scenes where she was dreaming. So it did happen a lot.
I get it. But like, I feel like they could have approached it a different way.
Yeah. What would you think?
I'm not a filmmaker, so I don't know. But I feel like it could have been done differently rather than having that grainy shit VHS look.
Yeah.
Just non-fucking-stop. I don't know. Yeah, I'm just complaining for the sake of complaining right now.
Fair enough. We're critics. That's what we do.
Yeah.
So I would think maybe...
Steve, you know what?
What?
It was a masterclass in graininess. That's for you, YouTuber.
That's funny. So if anything, like if you wanted to get rid of the whole grainy look, I would probably go back to... Have you ever seen Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey?
That was the first one, right?
Second one.
That was the sequel. Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, which I love. I even wrote a song based off the hell concept where like they're underground and there's all those doors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I wrote a song based on that kind of concept. So when they die, everything kind of turns this weird blue hue.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's supposed to look like the afterlife or something like that. They could have had that where it's almost like a hue of her in like these situations. And that would also set it apart from reality, because you're not going to have a fucking blue room. Like, and all everything's got a blue tone to it or something like that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They could have done something like that.
Yeah, I feel like that would have been more tolerable than what they did with this, but whatever. Mm-hmm. Maybe people liked it. I did not.
I mean, I didn't hate it, but I see your point about how they did go back to it a lot. But yeah, Gwen's sleepwalking into that fucking room was nuts, and she did this over and over. And I'm surprised they don't just fucking lock the door in their house, because she just keeps getting out and just walking or going for a bike ride to the grabber's house and shit like that. And she really did have some messed up sleep, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah. She had some fucked up shit. But we never talked about how Gwen is the queen of one-liners.
Okay. Yeah, let's hear them.
Because every time she spoke, I found myself laughing out loud. She calls Finny in the beginning, she calls him a jizz mopper and a slapdick in the same sentence. I loved it. She's always got these zingers.
She did have some zingers.
She went back and forth at one scene with that lady at a desk.
Barbara. Yeah, like she was ripping into her.
They
Barbara
were going
sucked.
Back and forth. I was fucking crying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was good stuff. I remember laughing watching that because, yes, she did have some zingers. I can't remember the zingers off the top of my head. I actually think I did note one, but I remember Barbara being like a pain in the ass because she's one of those religious types that only focuses on the scripture that they want to cite to prove a point.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not even good. It's really just their way of saying, I'm better than you. Here's this scripture that proves it. And it's like, no, well, no, that's not the case. And Gwen read the scripture back to her in the full context. And it actually just completely debunked what she was even trying to say. And basically saying, you're not a good Christian.
Yeah.
And Barbara sucked. She sucked. Her husband sucked. I'm surprised that they weren't fucking offed like early in the movie.
So. Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. And like the religious aspect of the movie, too, there was a lot of that. I felt it was kind of forced.
Tons.
Obviously people believe whatever they want to believe, but there was a lot of it in this movie.
Yep. So Gwen was a believer in Christianity. Finn, not so much. The father, no, because he said he wasn't.
It was cool seeing the father, though, because like in the first movie, we saw him beating the shit out of Gwen when she was younger. Like, he was very abusive. He was an alcoholic. I don't remember if he was a drug addict.
No, he was just an alcoholic, and he was angry at his wife dying.
Yeah.
And
that's another thing we find out in this. She didn't kill herself.
No, we get a solid twist. I love this twist.
It was a cool twist, but didn't the grabber only ever go after kids?
Yes, but the mother was onto him because she dreamt that a kid got kidnapped by someone dressed like a clown at this house, which we all know is the grabber. And she looks down in the basement and sees a kid, and the grabber grabs her, brings her into the van, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, we're jumping ahead a little bit, but that's okay. At this point, Gwen's dreaming, and she sees the grabber open up the door. And this is fucking crazy, because this is now the grabber just being like, here's a scene from your life that you weren't even here for, whatever. And he's showing that he killed her mother. So he's been in their lives their whole life, which is fucking crazy.
And he's like
about.
Going through the generations, too. Like, he starts with the mother, then he goes after Finn.
Yeah.
Now he's fucking with Gwen.
Yeah.
I wonder if maybe with the third one, it's about the dad.
Maybe. Yeah. I like that the dad turned himself around. You know, he stopped being a fucking drunk alcoholic and hitting the kids.
Yeah.
And like, that's the first thing you see, like, is his downward spiral when he sees his wife hanging there. And he's like, what did you do? What did you do? What have I done? Blaming himself now over it. And Gwen sees that whole scene happening. And it's important we bring this up because then she finally proves to her dad that her dreams aren't dreams. And she knows, like, shit. So he's no longer a drunk. He's actually a pretty decent parent from what I gather now, like in the movie.
Yeah.
Getting his shits, like, together. So everyone's doing okay. We also didn't talk about Finn beating the shit out of a kid early in the movie.
Hey, got the shit beat out of him in the first movie in the same manner.
Yeah, he did. You're fucking right.
Yeah.
What a callback.
And Gwen broke it up.
Wow, good call. So both movies just start off with kids beating the shit out of each other.
Yeah, they literally flip those scenes.
Yeah. Wow, it didn't even dawn on me. What an interesting concept, just starting off both movies like that.
Mm-hmm.
So Finn was beating up this new kid who was questioning him for killing a serial killer. It's like, oh, you're not so tough, that type thing. So Finn asserted dominance and then just fucking beat the shit out of the kid. And made sure that the kid was bleeding because it adds more to the, like, I don't know, allure in making sure that he's a badass.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so what happens is him, Gwen, and the other kid, what's his name again?
Ernesto.
Thank you, Ernesto. So, and Ernesto has a thing for Gwen. We find that out early in the film. But they all decide that they're going to go to this campground because Gwen keeps dreaming about it. And her mother told her that's where she was, or that's where she had to go there. So they're like, all right, we have to see this through. They go there. They meet fucking the badass guy. Oh, God. Where is it? Damien. Oh, Mando. Man, I'm saying the actual actor's name. No, Mando. So they actually end up meeting Mando.
Is that the guy from Weeds?
I don't know. I'm actually not sure. I haven't seen Weeds in so long, man.
I know. I feel like I've seen that guy before.
You might have. I'm almost sure of it.
He was. But it was Weed. He was Esteban Reyes.
Esteban Reyes. Oh, wow.
The drug dealer.
Yeah, I remember that now. Okay. All right. So I want to hop back into this because this is all about dreams and religion, essentially.
Yeah.
So what's really kicking this whole thing off is that Gwen keeps having these nightmares of kids being murdered, and they're writing initials in the ice. So the initials are WHB?
WBH.
Yeah, okay, WBH.
I love the approach that they took with this, too, because you don't get the full reveal all at once.
Yes.
It's kind of broken up into different scenes leading up to what WBH stands for, which you kind of find out towards, like, the ass end of the movie.
Yeah, which is actually really cool, which is the Wild something Bill?
Wild, right? Bill Hickok.
That's right, Wild Bill Hickok. And we find out that that is the name that the grabber was given when he was working, not as a counselor, he was working like as a maintenance guy there at that place. The same time, Gwen's mother was also a camp counselor there. And I thought that was interesting. I'm like, okay, here's the connection. Because I was having a hard time trying to see where the hell this thing was going. Like, where is this all connected? Until we get really fucking far in the movie and find out, okay, there's the connection. Now we're building off of that.
Yeah.
So that's where they started really building, like, okay, the grabber was here. Okay, his first few victims were these three kids that she's dreaming of, and they're somewhere under the ice. That's why they're seen under ice scraping initials into the ice. So now we're getting the idea, like, okay, the water was never dragged, which is fucking bonkers if you think about it.
You get all these kids at the bottom of the lake.
Yep, they never checked. It's just like, well, it's icy. Like, we can't get there. You know, maybe we'll check it in the spring, and they never come by and check the spring or whatever. Who knows? So there's one thing I did want to talk about, and I don't think we really touched upon it. The reason why Gwen is the main target of this whole movie is because the grabber wants to get revenge because the grabber killed his brother, and then Finn killed the grabber. So basically, the grabber blames Finn for his brother's death.
Yeah, he said it too in that whole phone booth scene. He said, "You made me kill my brother."
Yep.
I thought that was cool. Pretty cool callback. Explains the motive.
Yep. Because we weren't really figuring out the motive yet until he said that. And I'm like, okay, he wants to destroy the one thing that Finn loves most, which is his sister. So that means that's a great way to get back at Finn, is to fucking kill his sister and then basically ruin the whole family. And my gripe so far with this movie is that it's taking a long time for things to really manifest or like just really get kind of explain themselves.
Yep.
Like, okay, so now we're starting to figure out why, like what the motive is and like why she's even dreaming about these things. Like, for all I know, they're just connecting the dots and going to this one random place. Like, why would the grabber go back to that place? Why wouldn't he just go back to his house? Because they probably needed to just go back and revisit his past and show how he started. Maybe that's what they were doing. They wanted to show how he got started and tie all that together in the afterlife. But I don't know. So I think I want to get to this point. We're talking maybe more about the end of the movie.
Okay.
Because I did think this scene was pretty cool where they're actually starting to find the bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And the grabber ain't fucking having it. The idea is that these kids give the grabber strength. So in order to disable the grabber, they have to find these kids and put them to rest finally. Otherwise, the kids are just hanging out at the bottom of a lake in a fucking barrel the whole time. Basically, let the kids move on to the afterlife. A lot of religious stuff in this movie. A lot about the afterlife. A lot about just a lot. So this scene, though, I thought this scene was pretty cool. And this is when Gwen is on the ice and she falls asleep, right?
Mm.
She's like in that fucking like sleigh. She falls asleep and now the grabber's here. Grabber's fucking ice skating, you know. grab her on ice.
So I love that. Like, I don't really have a ton of positive things to say about this movie, but the ice skating thing, yeah. The grabber is already a terrifying character, which we've talked about. But when you see him fucking skating towards you,
yep.
on a frozen lake,
yep.
pants shitting.
Yeah, it really is. He was terrifying.
Give me the fucking like Miralax. I'm just going to explode when I see the grabber ice skating towards me.
But I love how they did the ice skates, too, because they were just straight ice blocks around his ankles.
Yeah.
And like it was just solid, like this like sharp ice. And I thought that was really cool. It's not like he put on some fucking ice skates and he's like, you know, fucking sliding around and shit. I thought that was great. It looked fantastic. Again, Ethan Hawke as the grabber is just unreal. He's awesome. He's so fucking menacing.
Yeah.
He probably did the skating himself.
Yeah. They nailed the casting of that character.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, Ethan Hawke, I don't think, has ever played a killer or anything like this before. The closest he got probably was Sinister, right?
Well, he was in a horror movie with Sinister. He was a writer, and I think he started going a little crazy, maybe?
It was a little, maybe, yeah, but he was a fucked up character. I just don't recall him ever playing a serial killer type character.
Oh, no, this is levels beyond fucking, like, crazy characters. I mean, he killed it with the first one, he killed it in this one. He is the grabber.
He
embodies that role.
I need to know, like, if they're going to do the same thing in the inevitable third movie, is it going to be another dream sequence type movie because he's dead?
Yeah. Well, is he though? And I'm going to get to that.
All right.
Because he didn't look like he was dead. But we're seeing the grabber on ice at this point. And both Barbara and her husband, you know, the ones that are like super religious mm-hmm. and don't really want to do shit. They're on the ice looking for these kids that are supposedly like that were killed by the grabber and are underneath. And the grabber takes his like friggin' hatchet thing he has and just hucks it right into like the side of Barbara's husband and just starts sliding with him. And we don't see like an actual axe go in him. We see like the blood and everything. But it's kind of the same deal as in Nightmare on Elm Street where people are being dragged up the walls and shit. You don't see Freddy Krueger doing it, but he's definitely doing it. So same deal happened. Barbara smashes her face on the ice, which I loved because she sucks. And
fuck you, Barbara.
Fuck you, Barbara. She sucked. I hated her as a character, which she probably played that part really well.
She played the heel perfectly.
She did. She did her job. She played an overly Christian person who is just an asshole, and they killed it in that role. I didn't get her name, but she was great in that. So she made me want to hate her, and
Barbara?
She pulled it off. What's that?
Barbara?
Barbara, yeah.
What's this? Maeve Beatty. Props to Maeve Beatty.
Props to Maeve Beatty. Beatty?
Beatty?
Beatty? I didn't know. Like, I'm just going off what you're saying.
B-E-A-T-Y. That's it.
Beatty. Beatty. Okay. So, well, anyway, she was great. So now we're seeing the grabber, and he's, because Gwen is asleep, he's able to kind of use her sleep and, like, I guess his ability through that to actually fuck with people in the real world. That's where I'm like a little confused on. So, man, he really starts fucking these people up. He grabs Finn by the neck with his hatchet, and you don't see him. You see Finn like struggling to get the friggin' hatchet away from his throat, and the grabber's just talking to him. And I love this part. The mask, pulling his mask off, like the portion of it.
Oh,
and
my
you
God.
See just like the flesh and his teeth.
That was awesome.
Oh, it looks so cool. Who was the company that did that again? They were the same people that did Bray Wyatt's masks and everything.
I don't know the name of the company, but it was Chris Baker.
Chris Baker.
Okay. He's the one that did the Pete.
Callum Studios?
Is that? Yeah, that sounds about right. He's the one that did the Pete, the Jason masks we have as well.
Yeah, exactly. Callosum Studios, Callosum Studios. So he did the original grabber. I'm fairly certain he probably did this grabber as well. And let's see. I want to see the portfolio. Yeah. Okay. So he did the black phone. He hasn't updated his shit, it looks like. But I can almost guarantee he did it. Anyways, the mask looked amazing. I wouldn't be surprised if it was them again. Just kind of keep things consistent. Okay. So this is where it gets like a little crazy because of the whole dream and reality deal. It's like kind of intertwining. Gwen's asleep, dead ass asleep, borderline DED dead asleep. And she's diving into the water and getting the kids in her dream, but she's dead ass asleep in the sleigh. Finn's being attacked by the grabber because Gwen is asleep, I think. So basically, if Gwen never slept, would any of this shit happen?
Yeah, she should be taking some meth or something to stay awake.
Yeah, there you go.
Although I did like that scene where she got slashed by the grabber with the axe.
Yeah. Yeah,
or he did it. You see the gash in her arm. It just appears while she's awake. It's because he got her while she was sleeping, right?
Yeah, and then you see like she's in the bed, her arms basically just like exploding. Which, speaking of exploding, some Mortal Kombat fatality looking shit in the phone booth. You remember the scene where the grabber spins her like crazy and blood is just.
Oh yeah, everywhere. That was in the trailer.
Was it in the trailer?
Yeah.
That's unfortunate. They should not have put that in the trailer because that was cool. I would have held that off like you wouldn't believe, man. But yeah, I thought that scene was really cool. It reminded me of some fucking... It was just everywhere. It was absolutely everywhere. And she wasn't even dead. It was just her arm was bleeding profusely. And so we're at this end scene. So she gets out of the water. She ends up fighting the grabber because it's her dream. So she has the power to like control her dream and fight the grabber. And she ends up taking his hatchet right to the grabber's face, right in his head. And then Finn again gets to annihilate the grabber.
This was cool. I love this scene. Just turns his head into fucking mincemeat. Gets his redemption.
Exactly. Just smashing his face and rips off the rest of his mask type deal. And you just see like the flesh again. I love this mask.
The practical effects are so great. Cool. And seeing that mask shattering.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And Finn is beating the shit out of him. The grabber was trying to get Gwen, but like all the dead kids that they found were coming up, I guess, through the ice type deal and like grabbing the grabber. So naturally, they beat the shit out of the grabber. The dead kids pull him into the water. The mask slides in right after him. And then we get a Friday the 13th Part 6 Jason Lives type situation. Where now the grabber is going to be at the bottom of this lake with these dead kids holding him down. And I think we're going to get a third one.
Oh, easy.
He's going to be like Jason.
Easy. Which is funny because I read that Scott Dickerson apparently had no interest in making a sequel to the first movie.
That's fair.
And Joe Hill came to him and pitched this idea to him. But I guess it was originally supposed to take place in hell.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and... Dickerson changed it a little bit, but
I do like that he said his idea of hell is it's not hot, it's not fire, it's cold.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's basically just nothing but your sins and a little bit of memory, that type deal. That's hell. So I like that he talked a lot about that. I mean, the religious elements helped. It made things make sense.
It does. It contributes to the story. I mean, certain movies use it very well. I mean, we can talk about The Exorcist.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's all about religion.
Yep.
And that's one of the most iconic movies of all time.
It really is. Hell, without the religion, fucking wouldn't even exist.
Nope.
It'd be pointless. Be a sick girl in bed.
Yep. That's it.
That's it. You know, just vomiting everywhere and all of a sudden her head's spinning. Like, she got some weird virus.
It's funny I bring that up because I have that Linda Blair photo right behind me there, signed.
Nice. Yeah, that's cool. I like that. So I think we can get into it. Corey, what do you give the Black Phone to?
If it wasn't obvious, I'm going to give this a 3 out of 5. I honestly don't think this needed to happen. The first film was incredible. It told a complete story, and it ended exactly where it should have. Sure, the score was great again, and the lighting was top-notch, but it feels like they're stretching it just to set up a third one.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, I can't really say I'm counting down the days to the next one.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see it.
I will absolutely watch it. We'll definitely do an episode on it.
I'm sure. If it's anything like this one, I won't hate it. You know, I won't love it, though. And that's kind of where I am as well. Going to go with a 3 out of 5 on this, too. Good, not great. One thing you can't do, though, is you can't go in and compare it to the first, because the first is a whole different ball game compared to this one. It's almost like comparing apples and oranges, and they somehow managed to intertwine the two a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they were able to bridge that gap, which is good, but it's almost like it took a whole different life of its own on the second one. Like I said, they did take elements from the original, but lean heavily into dreams, like some Freddy Krueger stuff. Basically, Black Phone meets Nightmare on Elm Street. I did enjoy the score, like you said. I thought the score was great. Some of the violence in it was pretty cool. I don't think there was a ton of it, to be honest. Like, well, I mean, no, like there kind of was actually. I'm going to take that back.
There was, but the grabber stuff that was, like I said in the beginning there, he wasn't really in the movie, I feel.
Yeah, it took a while for the grabber to get into the movie. Like, we were just seeing, like, glimpses of him from behind or him younger or something like that. Just different glimpses of him. So there was violence, but we never really got to see grabber until, I don't know, half hour, 45 minutes into the movie, maybe.
It was about an hour, actually.
Was it about an hour?
Yeah, because I was looking at the clock. I'm like, is the grabber, am I watching the right movie?
You know? Okay, damn, an hour into the movie and we finally see the grabber. But then we get some pretty regular appearances from the grabber, at least after that hour.
Mm-hmm.
It's like happening all the time. So again, the grabber is an awesome character that Ethan Hunt kills. I don't think anyone can play him that way. I honestly wouldn't want someone to step in and try to be that character because he just does it so well. I also like that they brought everyone back and they just continued on that story and expanded on the elements, like the mother being killed instead of unaliving herself. That was a nice twist. I love twists in movies, so seeing that was great. But something about it, though, didn't make me say, damn, that was awesome. It was just like, all right, that was cool, right? That's how I ended the movie. It's like, okay. I just thought it was good. I will say this, worth a watch. Not a waste of time, but go into it objectively and try not to compare too heavily to the original. And then I think you might actually have a decent experience watching it. You can rent and buy the Black Phone 2 now on Fandango at home. All right, everyone, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and YouTube. Leave us a 5-star review on all podcast platforms so we can get some more exposure. Of course, tell your friends. Both our intro and outro music are courtesy of Andrew Scott Bell. Be sure to check out Andrew on all major streaming platforms. And if you see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey on vinyl in the wild, be sure to pick it up. We're also part of the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to visit ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. They're an awesome podcast network ranging from wrestling to heavy metal, horror, all that good stuff. So check that out. Visit 30ScreamsOrLess.com for all previous episodes and transcripts to go with those episodes. Also, check out BeardOctane.com for their whole line of grooming supplies. And be sure to use the code 30Screams10 at checkout for 10% off your order. And if there's anything you want us to review, send an email to 30ScreamsOrLess@gmail.com or hit us up on social media. Use hashtag 30ScreamsOrLess. And also, we have some awesome merch for sale on our website. So definitely check that out. If you go to our website, at the very top, there's a shop link. Click that link and you'll see all sorts of shirts, hats, mugs, things like that. If you buy it, it helps going towards our hosting costs. I'm Steve.
I'm Corey.
And thanks for listening to 30 Screams or Less. And don't forget to drink your beans.